persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, we have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Still in Fiji, probably the friendliest place on Earth. No, that's not Disneyland. That's the happiest place on Earth, anyway. Go, Star Parker, go! You can do it, girl. It's about time someone took out Laura Richards. The Tea Party is having a significant impact on the GOP, holding conservatives to account and pushing some rhinos out. Way to go. Okay, here's an article whining about the influence the Tea Party is having on the GOP. Quote, in Delaware, GOP comes out swinging against the Tea Party, end quote. A, quote, popular moderate is suddenly under siege from a little-known conservative who in any other year might have been relegated to the footnotes of 2010's election records, end quote. As a parenthetical note, O'Donnell has some baggage. Quote, O'Donnell has a history of financial difficulties documented in the Wilmington News Journal that includes an IRS lien, a near foreclosure on her mortgage, and a dispute with her alma mater for not paying college expenses. She has a tiny campaign operation, and for the most of the year, she received virtually no grassroots financial support within Delaware, end quote. By the way, the reason I bring this up is because, as lame a candidate as Christine O'Donnell appears to be, at least by the aristos of, quote, moderate Delaware, she is seriously challenging an entrenched rhino. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a moderate Republican. And you see, this goes into the I told you so pile. When I told you that this was the best possible time to present the best possible conservative candidates to the voters, the GOP, true to form, is going to miss another opportunity. The conservatives could have stormed the castle and reclaimed the country from the hands of the communists who hold it now. But many of the GOP leaders simply do not understand the times. They don't know the difference between their pie hole and a hole in the ground. And what corrupts their power of discernment? Well, the same leaven that corrupted it with the Democrats. Power. Greed for power. Of course, Palin endorses Christine because Palin endorses skirts versus shirts. That gal worries me. Oh, Sarah, I guess we should have recognized that at the core, you're a party gal with an emphasis on gal, because, you know, if there's a GOP party gal running anywhere, no matter what, I mean, even if she supports abortion and secretly supports homosexual marriages, well, she'll get Palin's nod. Frankly, I don't know what you think about this. I'm not real comfortable with a predominantly female Congress or Senate, for that matter. Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. End quote. That's Isaiah 3:12, by the way. And anyway, overall, the Tea Party is having a much-needed impact upon the GOP. Let's pray the leaders of that movement stay focused on advancing grassroots conservatism and do not get blinded by the seductive greed of the Ring of Power. Gollum, Gollum, Gollum. Well, folks, it looks like the GOP are going to make a deal with the Obama thugs on the Bush tax cuts. We'll see how that works out. Some sort of compromise is brewing, apparently. And as we all know, compromise is the oil of politics. But the problem is, you see, when the country is so heavily tilted and leaning leftward, when conservatives oil the congressional floor, it just makes the slope more slippery to the left. Anyway, Boehner is a pretty straight-shooting fellow, so we'll see. Obama's communist rhetoric notwithstanding, he has to know that hiking taxes on those who create the jobs would not be a real smart thing to do in a recession. My guess is It's the Obama thugocrats who are going to have to concede on this one anyway. Birther update, folks. WND's founder, Joseph Farah, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, has declared Obama ineligible to hold office on the ground that he has refused to show satisfactory evidence of his citizenship status. Oh, yeah. The point is that Obama has been evading answering questions about his eligibility, spending over $1 million to keep his personal records secret from the public. Something unheard of, with the exception of Clinton, you know, who wanted to hide his medical records, but unheard of regarding school records, college enrollment records, and how about a long-form birth certificate, stuff like that? Farah has, as he put it, given the president alleged the benefit of doubt, not accusing him of being ineligible, only asking the question about Obama's secret long-form birth certificate. But now he has dropped the gloves and declared that he is convinced, without any doubt, Obama is ineligible to hold the office of the President of the United States. And, of course, I've been saying that all along. What provoked the widely read publisher of the World Net Daily, WND, to take this public position? Well, Obama's recent scornful dismissal of the whole issue by saying something to the effect, "I can't go around with my birth certificate pasted to my forehead." What an arrogant, disdainful, and truly shallow man. Of course, no one has asked him to paste his birth certificate on his forehead. Just show it to us, huh? Hey, mate? It's just like a liberal demagogue to think he can dismiss this important constitutional issue with scorn and disdain for the American people who are concerned about it. Okay, now let's turn our attention to more serious matters, shall we? As I mentioned, I am in Fiji, and I'm here to teach on the subject of Bible prophecy in our Bible college here, and in, I think it's three different churches. My travel companion, Jim Kaufman, rang my room yesterday, I believe it was, and invited me to look in on Al Jazeera TV. He thought he was watching CNN. But it turns out to be Al Jazeera. I watched for a while, and sure enough, I agree with him. Al Jazeera is a CNN clone. Makes you wonder how much Arab money is keeping CNN afloat. And ABC and NBC and CBS, for that matter. You know, they are sinking in viewership here in America. They are wobbling financially. The bizarre placating of Islam that dominates the U.S. so-called mainstream media has always intrigued me. I wonder if there is a way to find out how much Arab money, oil money, is shoring up the failing liberal U.S. media outlets. Now, I'm certain that Arab oil purchased the White House. Now, why do you think these liberal, hate America first politicians fight so hard to keep this country dependent upon Arab oil? Come on, wake up. We could break the throttle hold of Arab oil off the neck of American economy within a very short time if we would simply use the resources God has made available to us right here in the good old U.S. of A. That'll shake them up over there, let me tell you. Anyway, I've been teaching on biblical prophecy and watching the news on current peace talks between Abbas and Netanyahu, Palestine and Israel. By the way, did you know that the word Palestine is etymologically rooted in the word Philistine? Oh, yeah, it's true. The Philistines and Israel continue to fight over control of the land promised to Abraham's seed. Oh, but wait, Abraham's seed includes Ishmael, huh? So why not share the land? Hey, did you know that God's original promise to Abraham included the land from Egypt's Nile upward to the Euphrates at around Kuwait, and then over across the desert along the Euphrates into Turkey, and then down to the Med, and then down the coast to connect the circle back to Egypt? It was huge, but guess what? After Abraham blew it by following his wife's advice and taking that Egyptian Hagar to make a baby, and then here comes Ishmael. Well, God reduced the land of promise to Isaac, to what we now call the land of Canaan. You see, God gave the rest to the descendants of Ishmael. You would think that settlement would have been sufficient. But oh no, you characters are too much. Don't you know that you are brothers? That Ishmael received the lion's share of the inheritance? Why do you begrudge your brother that little sliver of land deeded to Isaac and his seed forever? But here's my point. You see, some Christians think that one of the marks that shows the beginning of what some call the tribulation, you know, when the Antichrist does his thing, well, they think that peace in the Middle East is a mark of the tribulation period. Well, I've got news for you. That is not correct. In fact, Isaiah 2 with Micah 4 and Genesis 49 all make it clear that in these last days, Israel will have her temple and will occupy all her land and be at rest with her Arab neighbors and be flush with prosperity before the so-called tribulation period even begins. Several of the things Christians are looking for as marking what they call the tribulation period, my friend, are going to happen before that prophecy begins. And as a consequence, many are going to be very confused when these things begin to happen. Hey, you know what? Events taking place in Iraq and in Iran right now have important prophetic implications. We notice that Iraq is struggling to get on its own feet as a democracy. The animal-like Muslim ragheads who want to blow the world to pieces for Allah, you know, are beginning to reassert themselves now that America has begun to pull out. Debka File reports, quote, military sources report increased Hezbollah involvement in actions to terrorize, subvert, and destabilize Iraq. According to Debka File, U.S. intelligence sources informed them on Monday, September 6th, that, quote, Hezbollah is striking U.S. targets in Iraq as subcontractor for Iran and Syria, end quote. Hey, according to the Sunday Times, September 5, quote, Iranian firms in Kabul are shelling out $1,000 to Taliban for every American soldier they kill in Afghanistan, end quote. Now, we all know that a few weeks ago, quote, the Lebanese officers, by the way, trained under Hezbollah at Revolutionary Guards bases in Iran, that these Lebanese officers left Iran and crossed into Iraq disguised as Shiite pilgrims to spread out in Baghdad and the southern Iraqi towns of Karbala, Najd, Nasiriyah, Basra, and all in order to attack U.S. targets. Hello. We also notice that Iran is beginning to come into possession of nuclear missiles. Nuclear missiles. Thank you, Bush. Last week, weapons inspectors representing the International Atomic Energy Agency reported that, quote, Iran has crossed the critical nuclear threshold, taking it nearer to being able to arm ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads. Hey. So, Iraq is struggling to stand up on its own two feet as an infant democracy, trying to learn how to walk, wobbling a bit, surrounded by lion-like beasts who want to devour the young democracy before it becomes a mature government able to defend itself. And Iran is, without any question, developing nuclear ballistic missiles that can reach targets in Israel and even as far away as France, I'm told. Now, what does all this mean? I mean, prophetically. I've got to take a short break, so I'm going to address that when I get back. But before I go, listen, do I have any friends in South Carolina? On October the 3rd, I'll be speaking at the Welcome Missionary Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina, on Sunday morning, and at the Cannon Mountain Baptist Church in Pickens on Sunday night. If you can, come on out and meet me. Also, I'm a board member of the Intercessor Ministries and will be in prayer conference October 4th through 7th, Monday through Thursday at the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. And I'd sure like to meet some of my listeners while I'm in your area. So plan to come on out and see me. I'll be right back.
Be advised, for Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, spokesperson for God, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, and they're coming after our liberty, my friends. I promised I would explain the prophetic significance of events taking place right now in Iraq and Iran, but first, consider the threat of Islam to our liberties. Now, before I go into this, I want to offer a caveat. I know and I understand there are many Muslim people, especially in America, who practice what are called the five pillars of Islam, but they don't subscribe to Sharia law. They live comfortably and happily under our laws. Now, they can't just say it right out loud to everybody because they'll be marked as an infidel, and they got to be careful about that in that crazy religion. But I am aware that many are glad to live under American law and do not want to live under the laws of Sharia. However, the fact remains the people who are planning to attack our country in the name of Allah are embedded among these gentle Muslim neighbors, and many of these moderate Muslims are intimidated and fearful to speak out. Now, some are helping us, but many are not. Now, I understand there is a place in upper state New York called Islamaburg. Oh, yeah. Many criminals in our prison systems are converting to Islam. And after being released, they're recruited to Islamaburg in New York, where there is ample evidence that they are being trained for warfare within America, against America, that support the reports we are receiving from eyewitnesses who have left that compound and told us what's going on. We have found buses riddled with bullet holes where it is obvious there was a training exercise involving attacking a bus. Now, listen up. This is going on in upstate New York. They're coming after us, folks. And what does this mean? Well, a former Muslim woman named Nani Darwish, or Darwish, has founded a group called Muslims for Israel. And she grew up in Eastern Islam, actually in Egypt. Not the westernized version, is what I'm trying to point out here. The one that works so hard to put on a facade of moderation. But she grew up in the real deal there in Egypt. Her father was a lieutenant general in the Egyptian army and a radical Muslim. She testifies that she grew up chanting death to Israel and death to America from a child. She grew up reciting her Muslim pledge to die in the fight of the against the infidels, to death with the infidels forever, that kind of thing. An email is circulating that allegedly represents her warnings, her views of the dangers of Islamic law or Sharia law. And by the way, she distinguishes between those who live under Sharia law from those who live in the within the Islamic religion but do not subscribe to Sharia law. Anyway, she tells us that she did not write that email. However, she did say it is substantially accurate. But because she didn't just say it's all accurate, I'm not going to be able to use it. However, here are some things that I do know that she has told us about Muslim Sharia law. Slavery has never been abolished in Sharia law. It is practiced right now. Their God, Allah, allows sexual slavery of women captured in war. Darwish said, even today, sexual slaves are accepted all over the Middle East. As we all know only too well, honor killing is accepted in Islam. A woman cannot divorce her husband in Islam, even if he beats her. And by the way, wife beating is permitted in Sharia law, and it's provided for in the Quran. Polygamy is accepted. As it stands right now, a Muslim may have as many as four wives. And in a weird law that they have, he can marry a prostitute for 1 hour. After the hour, the marriage is over. This allows them to legally use a prostitute without violating their marriage or religious vows. Can you believe this? Perverted religion. It's amazing. I mean, it's bizarre. It is oppressive, and it is especially dangerous for women and children. The women are treated like chattel, and the children are used by these cowards to be martyrs for Allah, who apparently, evidently, delights in using children wrapped in bombs to kill innocent civilians on buses and restaurants. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, you talk about beast-like mentality. That's one of the reasons we are particularly concerned about current developments in Iraq and Iran. But how does this figure into biblical prophecy? Well, when God took the kingdom from Judah and gave it to Babylon, a Jewish young man named Daniel was taken captive into Babylon. He was found to be a sharp young man, so he was being trained to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. About a year or so after he arrived there, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He could not remember the dream and did not understand it. He called for his soothsayers, astrologers, tarot card readers, you know, the necromancers, all that crap, and he asked them to tell him the dream and the interpretation of it. And of course, they couldn't do that. So Neb decided to have the whole worthless lot of them put to death and their homes turned into dunghills. And well, that would be outhouses. So when Daniel received word that he and his friends were to be killed with the rest of them, he asked for time and promised he would tell the king his dream and the interpretation, which of course he did. And the dream was of an image. And the image had a golden head, a silver upper torso, brass belly and thighs, iron legs, feet of iron mixed with clay, and 10 toes. Then as he looked at the vision, he saw a stone cast upon the feet of the image, which crushed the feet, toppled the entire thing. The stone then proceeded to crush the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, the whole thing to powder, and a wind comes and blows it away, and then this stone grows into a giant mountain that fills the whole earth. All right, the interpretation that Daniel gave was this. The golden head represented Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. From Daniel 8, we know that the silver torso and brass belly and thighs represents Media Persia and Greece, respectively. The iron legs are not particularly identified in Daniel, and most think it's Rome. But actually, it's not named because the fourth kingdom is a very mysterious thing that we don't have time to go into, and it doesn't serve my point, so we'll just pass on that for now. Anyway, the stone that crushed the image to powder is the return of Christ, and the great mountain that filled the earth is his kingdom. A little over 40 years later, Daniel receives a vision of the four beasts, and that vision is recorded in Daniel 7. These four beasts are four kings who are contemporaries that live in the time that the well-known prophetic figure called the Antichrist makes his appearance on the world stage. These four beasts correspond to the dream image of Nebuchadnezzar, but they represent how the respective kingdoms will appear in the time that the Antichrist begins his prophetic career. That is, at the time Antichrist begins fulfilling the prophecies concerning him. Now, each of these four beasts arise one after the other, signifying the order in which these kingdoms develop to the coming of Antichrist. The first is a lion with the wings of an eagle, and the second is a bear raised up on one side with three ribs in its teeth. The third is a four-headed leopard, hello, with four wings of the fowl, and the fourth is a strange creature unlike anything on earth, and it had 10 horns. Now, it is with this fourth beast that Daniel is most interested, because Little Horn, which represents Antichrist, begins his prophecy when he subdues three of the 10 horns under his power and becomes the ruler of the fourth kingdom, represented by this fourth beast. All right, you got all that? Now, for the moment, we're interested only in the first two, the lion and the bear. So the first is a lion, and it represents the kingdom of Babylon as it will appear in the days or in the time that Antichrist comes on the scene. Babylon was located in modern-day Iraq. Daniel saw this lion arise from the sea and noted that it had on it the wings of an eagle. He watched as the eagle's wings were plucked, and the lion then stood upon its feet like a man and received the heart of a man. It received a heart transplant from a beast-like creature to a humane creature. No, really, Daniel watched as this lion received the heart of a man. This indicates a remarkable transformation is going to occur in Iraq, and it will finally take its position among the humane countries of the world. It has been dominated by a beast-like mentality. Allah, Allah. Get that? Cute, huh? Allah, Allah. Anyway. Or in other words, beast-like as in the character of the religion of Allah. According to Daniel's prophecy, Iraq will experience an amazing transformation from a beast-like character to a humane character among the nations. This will happen after the eagle's wings are plucked and the lion is finally stable upon its own 2 feet. Who cannot see that is what is happening now? I mean, I realize Rome and other kingdoms have used the eagle as an emblem. It just so happens that at the time we're seeing the stage being set for this prophecy to be fulfilled, America is the nation represented dominantly as the eagle in the world today. And America's attachment to Iraq can very easily be seen as the attachment of the eagle's wings to the lion. Well, according to Daniel, that begins the prophecy of the lion rising out of the sea. The next thing to look for is the plucking of the eagle's wings, followed by the lion finally being stable, being able to stand on its own 2 feet on its own. When this occurs, we can then expect to see Iraq go through a process of transformation from the heart of a beast to the heart of a man. According to Revelation 18, by the way, we know that sometime in the last days, Babylon will be rebuilt and will become the economic center of world commerce. Oh, yeah. Saddam Hussein had plans to rebuild it, and he began that project. Sometime in the last days, it will be rebuilt. Just you watch and see. As I mentioned earlier, Isaiah 2, Micah 4, and Genesis 49, all of these passages show that a time is coming during these last days when Israel is going to work out some sort of compromised peace with her Arab neighbors. It'll probably be a kind of tenuous peace, but it's going to be a peace, my friend. And during this time, there will be religious freedom in Israel, at least maybe throughout the entire region, you know, where you can walk through the streets of Jerusalem and buy idols here and there in the shops. And everyone will be free to worship whatever God they choose. Oh, yeah, that's what the prophet said. According to Isaiah, Israel at that time will be replenished from the east. Oh, yeah. It will receive its sustenance and its riches from the east. In the Bible, that is almost always a reference to Babylon. Is this cool or what? You are living in some incredible times, my friends. I mean, this is almost as exciting as watching some of those prophecies that were fulfilled when Israel was made a state back in the 40s. Anyway, what about Iran? Well, the bear corresponds to the silver section of Nebuchadnezzar's dream image, and that section represents Persia. And Iran is the geographical location of ancient Persia. Hello? While the bear is not the official national symbol of Iran, it has for many hundreds of years been associated with Iran. And the bear in Daniel's vision is raised up on one side. And from insights we receive about the character of Persia and Daniel's vision of the ram in chapter 8, we know this indicates two powers combined with one of them dominant. One was Persia. The other was Media. And Media or Media includes the land we now call Russia. Hello? Russia has always had a connection with Iran, and it is certainly represented by the bear. So it's easy to see an Iran-Russia combination with one dominating over the other as a combined world power. Iran is developing into the status of a world power right now, militarily speaking. Right before our eyeballs. The relationship between Iran and Russia is becoming stronger all the time. It's kind of scary, though, because when this alliance is fully formed and the bear actually rises up onto the world scene, the three ribs in its mouth will say to the bear, "Arise, devour much flesh." An attempt to identify who or what nations are represented by the three ribs is speculation. However, what we know is that they are held in the mouth of the bear, which indicates, of course, they're controlled by it, perhaps having been devoured by it, and they turn around and encourage the bear to devour much flesh. Interesting. Ahmadinejad has indicated in the past, he has boasted that he would blow Israel off the map. We know that won't happen, but we do know the bear is going to create a lot of mayhem in the world. These things are still under the sea, as it were. However, we can hear the bear snoring in its hibernation, and we know what it's dreaming of. All right, I've got to wrap up another intriguing show. I hope you enjoyed our excursion into biblical prophecy. We are living in very interesting times, my friends. But I want my evangelical friends to know that a settlement between the Palestinians and Israel will not result in Israel having exclusive control of Jerusalem. For Jesus said Jerusalem will be trodden under the feet of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And according to Daniel and Revelation, by the way, that does not occur until Christ returns and Israel receives him as their Messiah. Oh boy, that should get the lights on out there. Or maybe some of your eyes rolling, huh? I've lit the lights in the Belfry Arch. The signal the enemy is on the march. Call in and let me know. You see, the lights are on. I'm paying for the call. Give me a call at 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. 1-888-770-8000. And say, "Lights on," if you're with me. And if you disagree with me, you can just register your thumbs down vote by saying "lights off" and hang up. All right, now, do I have any friends there in South Carolina? October 3rd, I'll be speaking at the Welcome Missionary Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina on Sunday morning, and at the Cannon Mountain Baptist Church in Pickens on Sunday night. If you can come, come on out and meet me. Also, I'm a board member of the Intercessor Ministries. We'll be in prayer conference October 4th through the 7th of that week, Monday through Thursday. And that will be at the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. I'll be there. I'd sure love to meet some of my listeners while I'm in your area. So plan to come on out and see me. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain.